Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lay down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight. He followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Quinque Chesima is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. God's kingdom is filled with contrasts, with unexpected twists, with surprises. In God's kingdom, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the blind see. In God's kingdom, the proudly religious are condemned, and the mighty are weak. And those with eyes to see and ears to hear are spiritually blind and deaf. For the third time, Jesus has explained to the 12, his chosen students who have been with him for 3 years, just what is going to happen. He says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise." He tells this to them plainly, without figures of speech, without using parable, without any accompanying sign. And yet, he didn't get it. The Holy Scriptures read, they understood none of these things. Their ears heard him say it, but they did not really truly hear him. Their eyes saw him explain this to them in person, yet they didn't see the reality of who he was right before their eyes. They didn't believe him because they didn't want to believe him. His kingdom of contrasts was not what they expected, not what they had hoped for. It wasn't what they desired. They wanted no talk of suffering, of crosses. And that, dear Christians, their desire, their version of who they wanted God to be and how they wanted God to work in their ways, their desires are the very thing that got in the way of their faith. Their own will, which is contrary to God's will, interferes with belief. Even something so simple and direct as the Lord's clear and unequivocal explanation of what is going to happen in Jerusalem. The foundation of the church, the apostles, the Lord's first wave of preachers that would be sent out, these 12 men who would first receive the Lord's Supper and first be ordained to administer the Lord's Supper to others, 11 of whom would be filled by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, these men destined for greatness in spreading the gospel through preaching and signs and wonders under great hardship, even unto martyrdom. These men, who saw Jesus perform 3 years worth of miracles with their very eyes, they were on this day blind as bats. Their own expectations and desires made them so. And what of yours? What kind of God is he in your imaginations? How often have you disregarded what God's word makes clear? How much have you seen but have not seen, and heard but have not heard? And friends, because of sin, this unbelief dwells in everyone's flesh. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. How different is the blind man? He had not walked with Jesus for 3 years. His eyes had never beheld even a single miracle. His crippling debilitation had made it necessary for him to beg for a living. He knew no sense of pride, no identity as part of the inner circle. In fact, he was shunned by the polite company, by the establishment. And that, dear friends, is a beautiful picture of how things work in God's kingdom. For what better explanation is there of prayer and of God's grace and of the Christian life than to confess before God and man
you too have been brought to be a beggar. Seriously, stop and think about it. When you are drawn to church, and when your neighbors see you leaving for church, you're not going to confess for yourself and for the world how good of a person you are. You're actually confessing to yourself and to your neighbor how dependent you are. But you're a beggar. That's all you can do. The world, the devil, and your sinful flesh dole out their worst. Six and three quarters days a week. But in the hearing of God's word, you were brought to hold with empty hands heavenward. And humbly plead for divine grace and mercy. Unlike the apostles who have their sight but do not see, this blind beggar sees the reality of the kingdom even though he has no sight. In faith and in reliance upon the grace of God, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Because he has rightly heard who Jesus is, he knows who Jesus is. He is the Son of David, written about by the prophets. He is the Messiah, the one who comes to usher in a new kingdom, a kingdom in which, as the prophet Isaiah declared, the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. That's what the power of God's word does. In his blindness, the blind man sees. For as the Lord draws near to him, a rightly focused faith cries out for mercy. It cries out to receive while in misery. A side little catechetical teaching note. In the Latin, the word mercy is related to the word misery. So where we cry out for mercy, we're crying out that he would help us in our misery. And we cry that out often, for he brings us to. In God's mercy, the Lord hears his prayer. And Jesus says to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith is made you well." The blind man's faith, though, wasn't some strong or special faith. It wasn't because of the blind man's devotedness to Christ. It was because of the very one with whom that faith was focused upon. That is what or who made him well. Remember, faith is only as good as what faith is in. Don't focus faith on faith. Focus on Christ and what he is giving, which is what faith receives. It's as if Jesus were saying, "Recover your sight. For your Christ-centeredness, your rightly focus on me, faith, has made you well. I have made you well. Because you're focused on me." Who could have predicted or imagined that the holy apostles, the men upon whose ministry the Lord would build his church, would be so lacking in faith after 3 years of seeing the miracles and hearing the gospel? Well, the real example of faith, the one who truly understands the kingdom, would be this beggar, which the world looks down upon with condescension and contempt. Indeed, God's kingdom is filled with contrasts, with unexpected twists, with surprises. As a good friend sitting in the pew told me once, God's full of one-ups.
kingdom lost or found, the confident are brought to self-doubt, the blind seeing, the proud are humbled, the lowly are lifted up, the deaf are serenaded with the sweet words of forgiveness, the mute are empowered to sing and pray and praise God with a loud voice, and the despicable one, the sinner, who is brought to repentance, is forgiven and made righteous, freely given everlasting life and salvation by faith alone. Dear friends, give thanks and praise to God for raising up this blind beggar, for bringing him to your ears through the Holy Scriptures, for he is a teacher of the faith, just as surely as Saints Peter and Paul and the whole lot of the apostles, the church fathers, the theologians and doctors of the faith through 2,000 years. Thanks be to God for bringing this event to be documented in Holy Scripture. This simple blind beggar has given the church a part of her liturgy, which she has sung for century upon century, even as you continue to sing today. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Kyrie is what it is called. The Kyrie is one of the greatest prayers in your times of trouble and distress. For this prayer identifies the cause of your misery. It identifies your need of God's mercy. Only a sinner is in need of mercy. And only from a world of sin do you seek refuge in sacred spaces where sacred things take place. Kyrie eleison are the Latin words for Lord have mercy. And those words are an acknowledgement of sin. It does not try to cover up your need of a Savior. It makes no boasts or arrogant claims. It is a cry of a beggar. It is a cry for pity. But most important of all, it is a cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, the one who has mercy, the one who is mercy, the one who gives mercy. In contrast to those who see, who accept the world on reason alone, who can see creation's beautiful sunsets, but cannot see the need for the Creator's Son to die on the cross to become the Savior of the world, whose selfish desires get in the way of spiritual sight, even the apostles. In contrast to those who cannot see, the Kyrie is uttered by a blind man and is brought to, who is brought to see with spiritual eyes, eyes rightly focused on Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God, though, that the Lord does not give up on his apostles. Thanks be to God that he does not give up on you. He delivers the same mercy sought by the blind beggar to you over and over, week after week, because you were beggars as well. You didn't bring anything with you to holy baptism. You were a beggar, just like everyone else being born from above through the water and the Spirit. And now, along with everyone else, you still do not bring anything to God's divine service of you, because that is what this is. It's his service to you. He is drawing near to you. And because you have heard, just like the blind man, his word brings you to cry out to him. You do not make the word or holy absolution or the sacrament of the altar what they are by your own strong or special devotedness. They are what they are because God has made them what they are is in them. And this is love. Another sidebar. In reading that wonderful text of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter that's used many times in weddings, and unfortunately in weddings it's used in a legal way, as if the married couple's going to fulfill those, you insert the name Jesus everywhere where it says love, and you'll get it. He is the scriptures. He is love. And through him, the marriage moves on and is strong. I lost my place. You don't make the word or holy absolution or the sacrament at the altar or by your own strong, special devotedness. They are what they are because of God, because he makes them what they are. And he, through that work, draws you to them. Just as the blind beggar was drawn to the Word made flesh, Christ Jesus. Faith is weak while in this fallen flesh, but when focused on Christ, it is strong. For he is your strength. He is the author and perfecter of faith. It is only through his going to Jerusalem, it is only through his dying and rising that the cry of mercy is answered. And go figure, look at how God works. As he delivers mercy to you in your misery, he brings you to have mercy upon your neighbor. So do not turn away from Christ's crucifixion. Do not turn away from the crucifix. Stay fixed upon it. It's why he went for you. Through his death is your life and freedom and victory. Your fallen flesh wants to turn away and call it bad. But the eyes of faith see that it is good. I would call it Good Friday. For your misery, your sin, your weakness has been conquered once and for all upon his cross. And as his word and sacrament continue to be delivered to you, then those marks of the church, those means of grace that God has chosen to work through, keep you in the one true faith by keeping you in Christ Jesus. They answer your cries for mercy, for he has taken your misery upon himself, and you are forgiven. You are declared righteous by faith alone because of the merits